It is not any Sunday that we get to consider the question of whether to eat meat or not. It's not one of our typical Sunday considerations. And I have to tell you, I'm thrilled by this. As a vegetarian of some 30 years, I'm going to resist the urge to convert you all to vegetarianism. I have thoughts on this question. I decided myself not to eat meat for ethical and health reasons, but sadly, that's not really the point of this question today. For in today's epistle, Paul is not really trying to convert everyone to vegetarianism, but instead he's calling the church in Corinth to consider their actions. He's calling attention to the practice they have, some of them have, of eating meat that has been sacrificed to idols, and the way that that practice is dividing the Christian community. In the church at Corinth, in Paul's time, there were two groups. There was a well-to-do, well-educated group of folks, and then there was a group who were more ordinary people, who were less educated, had less means. And many of that second group had more recently converted from the groups that worshipped idols and sacrificed meat to idols in the local temples. These well-educated, more prosperous members were very influenced by Greek philosophy. And so for them, the quest for knowledge is central to their lives. And if they believed something, they came to know something to be correct and true, then they felt justified in doing it. They had a way of resting in their knowledge, using it to justify their behavior. But in the passage today, Paul warns these Corinthians to be careful about their quest for knowledge. Their use of knowledge is used by them to assure themselves of their actions, to justify what they are doing. But Paul warns that is good to a point, but that pursuit of knowledge in that way can actually puff up, as Paul says. It can make people arrogant, and that arrogance can harm others. So while the actions of this group may be correct, at least according to what they know to be true, what they do may not be best for the Christian community. Further, Paul warns in today's epistle that the quest for knowledge itself can replace the quest for God. It can replace a desire to know God. Knowing God leads in and of itself to wisdom and leads to being known by God, Paul says. It comes to lead us to dwell in God's love. For knowledge of God, that love of God, does not puff up, but it builds up the community. At issue in this church community is, as I say, the eating of meat sacrificed to idols. And these well-off, educated members are fine with this. They know idols are not real. And if they're not real, meat sacrificed to them is meaningless. It is just meat. It is not something sacred. And these folks have the means to buy meat for their households. And these households, where you buy meat for your household, is from meat markets associated with the local temples, the meat that's been offered in them. These folks also have an active social life, and it revolves around feasts and banquets and public celebrations in these temple spaces, again, where they eat this temple meat. These Corinthians, though, are not bothered by this and trust in their knowledge that none of that matters. This meat is just meat. But in that Corinthian church, the other group, the folks who have recently left the worship in these temples, those who can't afford to eat meat at home, are finding the practice difficult. It's a little too close to what they have recently left. It feels a little too much like participating in those rites in those temples. And so Paul is concerned that their faith is not fully developed. It is not fully strong yet. Maybe not even strong enough to endure this practice of meat eating by the others. Now, Paul is clear to the Corinthians, saying he knows that it doesn't matter what we eat. Food has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is from God through Jesus Christ. He admits idols have no existence of their own, so the meat offered them is just meat. And also Paul reminds us that, of course, as followers of Jesus, we are free from the law in all respects, including what we eat. And in Jesus is a newfound freedom. But at the same time, Paul reminds them, Christian freedom is not the license to do whatever one wants. Rather, freedom in Christ is grounded in God's love for us in Jesus. And Paul says, our freedom actually becomes slavery to Christ. the one who gives his life for us in love. Jesus who loves all of us. Jesus who goes to the cross for all of us. This is our freedom rooted in Jesus himself. That freedom to be set free to love as God loves. To be set free to give our lives in service to others. Finding true life. Lives that are rooted in that abundant love of God made known in Christ. Paul says if he were to know that his eating meat was harming other members of the church, he would give up meat. This meat practice is threatening those weaker members, and the other Corinthians need to pay attention to this, not just rest in the certainty of their knowledge. They have a responsibility to the other members of the community. If actions offend, if they harm others, if they threaten others' faith, they should act differently so as not to do harm to the community, but to build up the community. And in fact, Paul goes further to say that if we wound one another, if we cause pain for other believers, those wounds are inflicted on Jesus, and that is a sin. And so Paul is cautioning them to think about the larger picture, think about the well-being of the community. And so Paul this day reminds us that we have to consider the implications of our behavior for the whole community, that community into which we have been called and incorporated. Through baptism, we become part of the body of Christ, baptized into his death and resurrection. We are even marked as Christ's own, literally forever, called to put on the very identity of Jesus. And so doing so means that we live having concern for the well-being of the community. That is central for us. Though we are free, though we may be assured of something being correct or appropriate, it does us little good, and it doesn't do any good for the community if it harms others. And so Paul is reminding us to live by love. Let love guide us, even the point of giving up our freedom for the good of the community. This teaching of Paul is important to us at all times as followers of Jesus, but I was especially struck by it on this annual meeting day, this day when we gather to tend to our corporate life as a community. I'm struck by the fact that all nonprofits have annual meetings of one kind and another, and they have elements in common with us. There's a way in which the previous year is reviewed. There's looking ahead to the coming year. There's the selection of new leaders. Finances are discussed. In this way, what we do later this morning is not unlike what other nonprofits do. And I even hear sometimes people in the church talk about vestry as a board of directors, rector as a CEO. But I think that misses the mark. We are different. We are not just another nonprofit. We are Christ's body in this place. We are called by God to be that literal presence of Jesus in this neighborhood and in this city. We are called into community, a community that exists for others. And we're called to do that work that God has given us to do, that God has raised us up to do, caring for the oppressed and the forgotten in our midst, structuring our corporate life around that life of Jesus, rooted in that love of God, that love which is self-giving and sacrificial, that serves others. In our gospel today, we see something of what that looks like. Jesus shows us what it is to live by the power of the Spirit of God. This passage follows immediately, that's Mark's favorite word, immediately upon Jesus being baptized, and then the Spirit propelling him out into the wilderness, where he fasts for 40 days. From there, the Spirit leads him to Capernaum, that same Spirit that descends upon him at his baptism. This is his first act in Mark's gospel, and he is showing how he is filled with the Spirit. And so he travels from the isolation of that wilderness, the literal margins of the world, into the heart of the religious world, coming to the synagogue on the Sabbath. That place, that synagogue, is where the scribes use their authority to lead the people, and they're trying to do that, to lead the people to holiness. But Jesus, throughout his ministry, and especially in Mark's gospel, consistently shows they fall short in this. And so Jesus comes offering liberation from everything that alienates and that divides us. Jesus comes offering freedom from the status quo of this world where oppression reigns. And so it's in that synagogue Jesus comes and encounters a man who is possessed by an unclean spirit. And Jesus casts out the spirit, freeing the man. And then this man is possessed by the spirit But that is cast out by Jesus, who is possessed by the Holy Spirit. And people are amazed at this new teaching, a teaching that Jesus shows less in words, but in actions. And they're amazed at this authority that Jesus has to set people free, to give them new life, to bring people to wholeness. As followers of Jesus, as the body of Christ in this place, we are called to be possessed by the Holy Spirit, to be full of that power of the Spirit that Jesus calls us into, that Jesus calls us to accept that liberation that he offers, the Spirit who sets us free from all that divides and alienates, the Spirit that sets us free from the ways of this world, free to live that life of love to which we are called. And so this day, Jesus offers a new teaching, shown in his deeds of healing, of exorcism, of bringing people to wholeness. In him is the destruction of the powers of sin and death. Through his death and resurrection, we are set free, invited into this new life, this life of love that can transform the face of this world. And so may we accept that liberation from God today. May we allow Jesus to set us free from all that alienates us and set us free to live this abundant life of love that God desires to share with us and that we are called to share with the world. Amen.